Just in this spirit, we're on our feet. Let's honor God's word while we're on our feet, as it's our whole, as it's the holy word of God. Let us read what we're going to be reading today. And Jerry, you can throw it up there from 2 Timothy chapter 4, our text for this morning. The Apostle Paul is writing this from a dark prison cell, and it's cold, and it's heavy, and it's hard. And he says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. He says, "For I'm already being poured out like a as a drink offering, and the time for my departure is close. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. In the future there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day." And listen to this, church. "And not only to me, but to all those who have loved His appearing." That is good news today. Father, we thank You, Lord, that though the battle is strong and it's heavy and it's hard, we thank You for Jesus who won that battle 2,000 years ago when He rose from the dead. We thank You for that. So, Lord, whatever we're dealing with today, may Your Spirit go before us. I ask You to help me to preach, God, in the power of Jesus. And, Lord, I pray that You'll make our hearts open, our ears attentive, remove distractions as we focus on the Word of God. Lord, we love You, and we thank You for Christ. And all of us prayed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Tell somebody before you sit down you love them. Tell them you love them today. Give them a hug. Amen. All right. All right. All right. Well, last week, Mark Rowe preached for me in my absence, and he followed along with our sermon, our series that we've been doing called Refusing to Quit. And in this series, we've learned a couple of things. We learned that everybody's got a struggle. Everybody's got a trial. Everybody's got a problem. Everybody's got an issue. And we learned that with our problems, with our issues, with our struggles, we are to give them to God. Then we learned that when we give them to God, we're not to take them back from God, are we? We're to let God keep those, and by faith, let Him handle those things in His time. Mark last week taught us that when we're struggling and we're going through the storm and God has not yet revealed Himself or showed up yet, that our response is not to abandon the Lord, but yet to praise God even in the storm, that we will lift up our hearts and our spirits and praise the Lord in the storm, in the battle, in the process of the battle, that we still choose to praise God while that is happening. And today we conclude this series as we lead into the campaign, especially we conclude this appropriately titled Finishing Strong. Finishing Strong. And I think this is a good title for today's message, as Paul has told us. Now, we've had a theme verse for this, and Jared did that Deuteronomy verse up here, and it's a great verse, and let's just read it together as we've been learning it. Are you ready? "For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory." One more time, you ready? "For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory." Deuteronomy 24. And I hope that verse has encouraged you that it is the Lord who fights our battles. He is equipped and able to handle that. Now, as we just read in our sermon text, if you got your notes, follow along. The Apostle Paul is writing maybe his last letter. Most scholars believe that the book of 2 Timothy is the very last thing, probably, that the Apostle Paul wrote. The very last thing. Last words are very, very important. What we know from 2 Timothy is that Paul is writing more than likely from a jail cell. It is probably nasty. It is probably dark. It is probably not a fun place to be. And yet he instructs the young Timothy. And he tells him to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, encourage, endure the work of an evangelist. He does so much in this book. And then at the very end, Paul kind of gives us a glimpse into his life. And he says this, he says, "I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. My body is exhausted," is what he's saying. I'm spent, is what he says. "But I believe that I have fought the fight, finished the race, and kept the faith." Now, wouldn't it be great if all of us, at the end of our lives, when we died and we passed on, and hopefully, Lord willing, you're going to heaven because you're saved. Wouldn't it just be wonderful If when people are passing by your casket, if they look at your old body there and they say, you know what? That was a man, that was a woman that loved Jesus. And though they had struggles and trials in their life, they kept faithful to the very end. Wouldn't that be a, who'd like that testimony about their life? That they were faithful to God through the end. You know, last words are very, very important. And the danger that battles and struggles and trials will often hit us with is that they will distract us from the goal that God has for us. They will distract us and we'll get involved in those things. And we will lose our focus on the Lord. And then at the end, we maybe won't finish as strong as we want to. And that's the devil's goal for you, is to get you derailed and to get you away from the Lord and to get you unfocused off of Christ. You know, I often think, what will people say about Kenny Rager when Kenny Rager is gone? When it's all over, what will they say about Kenny Rager? You could ask some former church members, and they may not say good stuff about Kenny Rager. You know, you may not say good stuff about Kenny Rager. But I hope and pray when it's all said and done, that somebody would say, that's a man that loved the Lord. That's my goal in life. That's a guy who loved Jesus with his life. You know, your swan song, your final words, your epitaph, it's going to say something. And really, no matter what you do, the way you wave goodbye says it all. Is that fair to say? The way you wave goodbye really speaks more than anything else you ever did in your life. The way you wave goodbye. You know, I think about this church and what God is doing, and I'm excited to see the excitement and the salvations and the baptisms. And next week we're going to baptize a few people, and we're excited about that, excited and rejoicing over that, looking forward to what God has. You know, I'm just so excited. But when it's all said, you know, when the Lord comes back, I wonder what the testimony of Life Community Church would have been. You know, what was the testimony about this church? Is this a church that preached God's word faithfully, that ministered to people, that reached out to people? Was this a church that made a difference in the Owensboro area, or did we just meet together? You know, I hope and pray that this church will have a testimony when it's all said and done, that this was a church that loved the Lord and loved God's word and preached God's word and just also applied God's word and did something with God's word. You know, as we had a chance to vacate a little bit last week, and it's great when you vacate because your brain gets kind of snapped back into where it needs to be. After the chartering service, we were on such a high heel, and it was like, boy, I came crashing down the next week. And y'all saw me like the Walking Dead, you know, the last couple of weeks. And we went to Myrtle Beach. It's amazing. God gave us oceans to recharge preachers. Amen, you know. So I'll tell you, that's what he gave us oceans for. And I'm feeling great. And one of the things that the Lord spoke to me while I was there, just in my quiet time and just looking out over the ocean and praying, was the vision of this church and how this church cannot stop. We've gone way too far to stop and to put the brakes on. We've gone way too far for that. And I think about the vision of what the Lord's laid out in this church. And, you know, and I'm foreseeing that this church will be a great church. You know, I believe that we're going to be organized as we put together our ministry teams and we do kind of the formal stuff and we get involved and all that stuff. Pray for the nominating team as they're doing the hard work and prayerfully looking at that. Pray for them. You know, I'm excited for that. And then I believe that in our future that we'll be looking for something to get into, some sort of home for us that's not quite the community college. Amen. Something that we can stay and we can have everything under one roof. Won't that be great one day? Won't that be great when God gives us that? And you know what? It may be His will for us to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. I really hope not, okay? I really hope not. But if it is, praise God, right? We've learned that. Praise the Lord through the battles. But you know, part of the vision that God, I think, has called us to is to try to find, to begin that process of looking for a place to call home. And there'll be sacrifice involved in that. Both time, commitment, money, all that. Amen? That'll all be part of it as we step into that. But man, if we don't have a vision, we'll perish. Did you know that? We'll perish. If we don't press forward, we'll perish. But I don't know when that'll be, but God will show us and He'll lead us. And the trustees have a great job ahead of them of trying to bring something before the church. And you know, I think about that. I think about the goal of our church to grow and to reach families and to make a difference, to continue to preach God's word. And I pray that we'll double in baptisms in this next year. I really do. I pray we'll double in baptisms than what we had last year. And I pray that we will be able to successfully birth other congregations, that we can identify men in this church that we can send out to start satellite churches or other autonomous Baptist churches. I just believe that God can do that. And you know, and I hope and pray that when it's said and done about this church, that God would say, or that people would say, that was a church that loved the Lord and that had a vision for the community and had a direction of where they were going. You know, I think about the campaign that's coming up, and I pray that when it's said and done, that it's not just a flash in the pan, but it was something that was sustainable, something that undergirded the church through the prayer and the support and the commitment that was there. And as we learn about what being a church member is and is not throughout this campaign beginning next week, I pray that God would just strengthen us like never before, that He will strengthen our church and make us strong before Him in Christ. Make us strong in Christ before Him. But today, I pray, what will people, have you thought about, I pray that you'll think about this, what will people say about you when it's all said and done? What will they say about you when it's all said and done? The last song is what you're remembered by. You know, sometimes the last song can delete everything that happened previous to that. Did you know that? I was an avid TV watcher of the television show Lost. Any Lost fans in the house? I watched Lost every Thursday or Wednesday, whenever it came on. I watched it faithfully. We had people over at our house in college watching Lost. And when me and Taryn got married, it was still going on. When we first got married, we didn't have cable, and we would go to somebody's house to watch Lost. We just show up. Oh, it's Lost day. It's time to watch TV, you know. And we would watch Lost, and we really did do that. And I loved Lost. I owned all the box sets. I loved it. I was on Wikipedia reading stuff about it. I loved it. And I'm not going to ruin it for anybody. I'm not going to. But the very last episode came, and I thought, this is garbage, you know? I have invested 6 years or however many seasons of my life into this show, and it ends in the most dumbest way possible. This is the honest truth. This is the honest truth. The next day, I took all 6 or 5 box sets of DVDs that I owned and went to the Money Tree Book of Music Change, and I traded them for a Wii remote control the very next day. To this day, I've yet to watch another episode of Lost, nor will I ever, ever, ever. Let's pray the Walking Dead don't end that way. Amen? All right? Let's pray that. But here's what I'm saying, that the last words can really make a difference. I want to look real quick, 3 ways that we can finish strong, where your battles in life and your trials in life and your struggles in life don't take you out, that they don't knock you out. 3 ways to finish strong. Here's the first one. It's not very fun, but we need to talk about it. You ready? Expect to be drained. And that's not excited, is it? Exciting, is it? That doesn't get you amening and shouting. Expect to be drained. Look what Paul said. He said, for I am already what? Been poured out. This is one of the greatest men that ever lived in history. And what did he say at the end of his life? He said, I'm tired. Did you catch that? I'm tired. I'm being poured out like a drink offer. My life is leaving me. I'm drained. I'm tired. I'm wore out. One thing about struggles and trials is this. They will flat wear you out. And listen, you can pretend to be super Christian all you want and say, man, I pray and pray and pray, and I'll never get tired. I'll never get burned out. I'll never get wore out. Man, you just keep telling yourself that stuff, because if the Apostle Paul gets wore out, buddy, you're going to get wore out. It's going to happen. Look at what Paul dealt with. I can't blame the man. And Jared, I think we have it on the screen. It's not in the notes, but it's from 1 Corinthians 11. And look what he says about his life. He says this, 5 times I received 39 lashes from the Jews. 3 times I was beaten by the rods of Romans. Once I was stoned by my enemies. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I've spent a day and night in the open sea. But he wasn't on the beach. He was floating in the ocean. On frequent journeys, I faced dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the open country, dangers on the sea, and dangers among false brothers. Labor and hardship, many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food, cold and lacking clothing. Not to mention other things, there is the daily pressure on me, my care for all the churches. Well, that'd wear you out, wouldn't it? That flat wear you out. And you know, I don't know, I think it's funny. He threw in the fact about pastoring churches. You know, it's like the old preacher said, you know, he looked at his congregation, he said, When I die and you all walk past me and you're looking at that tomb or looking at that casket open and there's the preacher laying in there, he said, just know you had a hand in that. You had a hand in that happening. You had a hand in that. But yet Paul says he went through all this. And you expect the man. He's tired. He's tired. And I know one thing about faithfully serving God is that when you faithfully serve God, it's not always bells and whistles. I mean, I don't think any of you all have been lost at sea lately. I don't think you've had rocks thrown at you. I don't think you've been attacked, beaten up for your faith. Paul had all that happen to him, plus more, plus the false brothers that were continually critiquing him, continually challenging his ministry, all that stress. And Paul said, I'm tired. Understand this, that when you deal with the battles of life, you will get drained. They will wear you out. So what do you do when you get drained? What do you do? What do you do? Well, you got to put something back into you. Now, what often happens is that when we experience drain and fatigue and we experience depression and we experience the battles and when they weigh on us, we have a tendency to put the wrong stuff into us. We isolate ourselves from our church. We isolate ourselves from our church family. We quit reading the Bible. Let me tell you this real quick. If you are so tired that you can't read your Bible, you'll never get alert and awake. You'll never get alert and awake. You will sit there like a zombie for the rest of your days because you have to be feeding yourself with Scripture. You know, you have to put something. Oftentimes people say, well, I just got to get away from my problems. And I'm going to go to something worldly. I'm going to go to alcohol. I'm going to go to drugs. And just to deaden that, it won't help. It won't help. See, when you're drained, yes, you need rest, but you got to be putting something into you. Because if you're not putting something into you and you're just laying there like a bump on the log, you're not going to get any better. The struggles and the trials will continually weigh on you. You have to be nourishing yourself with God's Word. You know, that's why when you see runners running on the track and the guys are on the side with water and they run and they grab it and they got to drink it. They don't stand there on the side with coffee and they grab coffee. You know, remember that episode of Seinfeld when Kramer gives the guy coffee and he's run. You don't do that. You don't too many TV references today, amen? I do more with my life, I promise. But you got to put the right stuff in. And what's the right stuff? You ready? The presence of God. Feasting on the Lord, spending time with this church family. Listen, I'm telling you, when you go through struggles, don't run away from your church family. Because it's like taking a bunch of coals that are glowing hot and you remove one of them. And what happens? The rest burn and you die out. Do the right thing. Be with each other and pray and support. But understand that when you go through a battle, it won't be all bells and whistles. It'll take its toll on you. And you need to know what to do. Second, determine not to give up. And maybe you can put in parentheses, if you're taking notes, just keep the faith. I struggled on what to call that one. Maybe you can just put in parentheses, keep the faith. Paul said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Paul was determined through shipwrecks and troubles and persecutions and all that, and management of churches and all of that, that he wasn't going to give up. He was going to fight. He's going to finish. He's going to keep the faith. He was a fighter, he was a finisher, he was faithful. And we see that about Paul's life, that he wouldn't give up. Now, have you determined in your life that you're not going to give up? That even if everything was stripped from you and taken from you, have you made the decision that I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back? See, if you've not made that decision that you're in it for Christ and there is no escape button, there is no reverse. This is for Jesus. I've laid my life on the line for Christ, and I'm going to follow through. Now, in the day and age that we live in, where self-help is prevalent and positive thinking is there, you might think, well, I'll just will myself not to give up. I'll have positive thinking. I'll be strong. But understand this. Paul was able to fight the fight and finish the race. Why? Because he did what? He kept the faith. Now, here's the deal. You'll never fight. You'll never finish if you don't have faith. You have to continually be relying on the Lord and draw your presence and your strength and your power not from yourself and from your flesh, but from the Lord. There's no good thing in your flesh. Your flesh is weak. Your flesh gives up. Your flesh is rotten. It will always be rotten until the day you die. But your spirit is redeemed. Your spirit is changed. Your spirit is saved by God's grace. And the power of the Lord's Spirit moving through your spirit is the strength we have to fight and finish. But it comes by keeping faith and our eyes on Jesus. So you got to determine, will I be faithful or will I not be faithful? Third, and I love this one, await the reward of righteousness. Await the reward of righteousness. Paul said, there is revealed for me in the future the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing. Now, for those that would say, if you love God, you'll never have problems, you'll never have struggles, you'll never have sickness, etc., please tell that to Paul. Because Paul had his head severed for the Lord. He did not die in health. He did not die with money. He died in poverty, in persecution, is how he died. But Paul was not waiting for a reward on earth. He was waiting for a reward in heaven. You have to understand that even if your battle sinks you on earth, it didn't touch you in heaven. It didn't touch you in heaven. By God's grace, he's got something better for you. Now, I agree. I rejoice and praise God for when he brings relief on earth, don't you? I'm thankful that he saves us and that he continues to answer prayer. But let me ask you this. If the only prayer God ever answered, only prayer he ever answered, was to save your soul, and he never answered any other prayers, have we still gotten more than what we deserve? Don't ever forget that. Paul said, I wait for the crown of righteousness. Now, the crown of righteousness could be a crown that he received in heaven that he would cast at the feet of Jesus. Some scholars believe that. Other scholars believe that he would just, which I tend to believe this too, that he would be clothed in righteousness from the head to toe is what that would mean, that he would be now a righteous person before God and in Christ. What I'm thankful today is that if you know Jesus, that there is a reward waiting for you. And no matter how hard it gets or how bad the struggle is, this ain't the end. If you're a Christian, this is as bad as it gets for you. This is as bad as it gets for you if you know Jesus. Now, if you don't know Jesus, and I hate to say this, but this is as good as it gets for you. But if you don't know, if you do know Christ, this is as bad as it gets. And why is that? Because the battle has already been won. It's already been sealed and done. It's not your battle. Look what the Lord says about, look what Paul says about the Lord in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, death, where is your victory? Say this with me. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Next verse there, Jared. He says, now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Next verse, and I love this one. Let's say it together. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is his victory for us to walk into. It is his accomplishments for us to claim. It is his power for us to gain strength from. It is all about what Jesus did for us. It's all about him. And no matter how bad it gets, are you ready? It's just going to get better if Jesus is in your life. Boy, I'm telling you, it makes me happy. If that don't get your wood on fire, your wood is wet this morning. That's good stuff. I don't care if you amen or not. It's good if God saves you. It's good. And I don't understand how people can live on this earth without Jesus. How can they live in the battles and the wars they keep fighting and fighting and fighting when I know that I'll have battles, but I know it's already accomplished in Jesus. I don't know how somebody does it without the Lord. Because they're going to have battle after battle that they're not able to win. I read a story this week. World War II. There was a Japanese soldier that was stationed. It was a sub-lieutenant stationed in the Philippines. And you might have heard this. The man actually just recently died in January of this year. It's a pretty phenomenal story. The man was stationed in the Philippines, and he was fighting against the Philippine people. He was a Japanese lieutenant. And when the war ended, when the bomb was dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, when the bombs were dropped, this gentleman did not get the note that the battle was over. And he asked, anybody remember the story? Miss Jean and Miss Williams up here nodding. Yeah, we remember this story. And this guy stayed on this island, continuing to fight World War II after World War II was over. He had about four or five guys with him that he was commanding. And they fought. They shot fishermen. People would try to approach them, and people would come up to them and say, hey, the war's over, and they wouldn't believe him. He would shoot them. This happened. And the word got out. He said the only way. He lived up in the mountains. He became kind of an urban legend until they found the man alive. 30 years later, he's still fighting World War II. Until the Japanese government had to find his commanding officer, who was now a bookseller in Japan. They flew this elderly man to this island in the Philippines. And the elderly man approached this other man who'd been fighting a war on his own for 30 years and gave him the order to stop fighting. I tell you, that's exactly what happens if you live your life without Jesus. You are fighting a battle that you will never win, that was settled a long, long time ago. You were settled a long, long time ago. You are fighting aimlessly. You are fighting without purpose. You are fighting the wind, and you'll never win. Ever win. It's not until you hear the liberating words of the commander, of when he comes to you and he says, put down the aggression, put down the defense, put down the stuff, put down the fighting, put down the warring, put down the bickering, and believe me that it's done. Today, have you done that? Have you asked the Lord in your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior? Maybe somebody today is fighting an aimless battle, and they need to know that it's already done, and they're just waiting for you to tell them about Jesus. That's what this campaign's about, for us to bring people in and to tell them about the life-changing message of Jesus. They're waiting. So today I ask you, in conclusion, will you finish strong? Father, we thank you for Christ. And in this moment now, we pray that if someone here does not know you as Lord and Savior, that you would touch their hearts, you would convict them. And God, they may not know what to do except just to get out of their seat and come forward. But God, I ask you to change their hearts and to help them. That, Father, that they would be saved today. And God, for us who are continuing to fight battles as Christians, we pray to give it to you, to trust in you, to know that it's already won. So, Father, today, those that are drained, those that are tired, I pray that they would sense the Spirit of God in their life. And, God, that you would move in their hearts and lives. Father, today, may you lead us and guide us closer to you. We pray in your name. Amen. You respond today as the Lord lays in your heart. Would you stand as we worship today? You come and pray. I'm here if you need to make a decision.